Well, we continue our series in Luke's Gospel and we return to the city of Jericho. So please come with me to Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. Jesus, on his way to Jerusalem, is passing through beautiful Jericho. Palm trees, rose gardens, leafy streets lined with sycamore trees. There's a winter palace there. Wonderful climate. It's a city that's so romantic that Mark Antony gave it as a gift to his lover Cleopatra. But Jesus hasn't come to holiday. He's come to seek and to save that which was lost. We met one of them last week, a blind beggar who we found out from other Gospels is by the name of Bartimaeus. This week we meet a rich man, Zacchaeus. Now, we had a reading from verse 35 of chapter 18 to chapter 19, verse 10. And those verses are rather like a seesaw with a pivot at chapter 19, verse 1. On the way to Jericho, Jesus meets with Bartimaeus. On his way through Jericho, he meets Zacchaeus. And they're men of contrast, aren't they? Bartimaeus is a beggar. Zacchaeus is seriously rich. Bartimaeus is lost in poverty. Zacchaeus is lost in wealth. Bartimaeus is shouted down by the crowd. Zacchaeus seeks to escape from the crowd. One calls to Jesus. Jesus calls to the other. The one who can't see finds Jesus. The one who can see, Jesus finds. At the first meeting, it's faith which is to the fore. At the second, it's repentance. But whether it's repentance or faith, they're opposite sides of the same coin. Both these men, they become lovers and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're changed hearts, changed lives, changed men. It's very wonderful, isn't it? Was Bartimaeus called Jesus son of David? Wasn't David a shepherd? But here's the good shepherd, seeking the lost sheep of the house of Israel. For the Son of Man has not come, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, what do we know of Zacchaeus? Well, verse 2. Now, behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Now, Jericho, sometimes described as little paradise, was fabulously rich. It was famous for producing balm and, to quote, an oily, aromatic resin harvested from the balsam tree used for its soothing, healing properties. I don't see any great intake of breath or eyes widening in wonder. Okay, Jericho produces balm. But in the ancient world, the balsam tree, the balm that it produced, was described as the most precious thing there is. And here's Jericho, it's at the heart of a thriving balsam trade. There's money to be made in Jericho. What's more, it was at the crossroads of a large trade network. So there's big money to be made in Jericho. And if every entrepreneur and capitalist knew it, the Romans certainly did. Because rich Jericho means big, juicy tax revenues. What was exported from the city, what was imported into the city, what passed through the city was taxed. Now, if you're going to levy taxes, what do you need? You need tax collectors. And if you're going to coordinate the collection of taxes, what do you need? You need a chief tax collector. And who's the chief tax collector in Jericho? Zacchaeus. So he's the head of an entire tax district. In fact, there are only three such districts in the whole of Palestine. So he's one of the most powerful men in the country. And we're told, verse 2, he was rich. And when the Bible says he was rich, it's saying, look, this man is seriously rich. So please have those verses open in front of you. We've got 3 points, 3 words. Where do we find those words? Verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So our first point, our first word, lost. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Zacchaeus, before Jesus found him, was lost. What does Jesus mean? Verse 3. He sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. Was that the story of his life? Is that the story of your life? He was always on the outside, always wanted to be near the action, but somehow getting left out. There's always, you see, someone standing in your way, someone spoiling the view. Exciting things are going on, drawing a crowd, but you can't see what they are. And by the time you get there, the crowd has moved on. Of short stature. He's little. He's a little man. He's small. And little Zacchaeus is always missing out. And maybe because he was little, as he was growing up, he was always being picked on. Sometimes it happens to little people. And so he became rather sad, a lonely, a solitary figure, maybe. My father went to boarding school. He could be the life and soul of the party. Some of it was in his DNA. Some of it, though, was the boarding school. Why? Because my father was short. And if you're short at boarding school, you get picked on. Unless you can make people laugh. Unless you're quick on your feet. Then you can get them onto your side. And maybe Zacchaeus wasn't. So this short, sad, lonely, solitary outsider, what did he do? He threw himself into his studies. And what he lacked in stature and popularity, he more than made up with him with brain power and business acumen. He may not be much to look at. Everyone may make fun of him. But in making money, I can outrank them all. Is that what Jesus means? So for lost, read the outsider. What does Jesus mean? Look at verses 6 and 7. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all complained, saying, oh, he's gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. So was that the story of his life? The man who people loved to hate. Why? What's he ever done? Well, he's a tax collector. In fact, he's the spider at the center of a great web of tax collectors. Well, what's wrong with being a tax collector? Well, Zacchaeus, a Jew, he collects taxes for the Romans, the occupying power. So in the eyes of his countrymen, he's a collaborator, maybe even a traitor. What's more, he therefore freely mixes with the unclean Romans, the unclean Gentiles, in Jewish eyes making him unclean. So he's a collaborator, he's an outcast, and he's a thief. Why? Because tax collectors commonly collected more than was their due to line their own pockets. In verse 8, Zacchaeus is no exception. He's got seriously rich by fleecing his own people. That's why all the people have got for him is bitter words. What's he going home to be a guest at that sinner for? This is perhaps one of the most hated men in Palestine. Is that what Jesus means? For lost, read, despised by all. What does Jesus mean? Lost. Well, he's not measuring Zacchaeus' lostness by the opinion of those around him. He's talking about something far more fundamental. Zacchaeus is not lost in the sight of others. He's lost in the sight of God. This is the sheep that's gone astray. This is the son that's gone to the far country. This is the man who's walked out on God. Lost. My friend, are you lost? Friday's newspaper carried the headline, Jungle Girl Lived Like Animal for 20 Years. You've probably seen it, it's been in the news. Just to quote what the newspaper said, it said, a Cambodian woman who emerged naked from the jungle to scavenge for food is thought to have lived like an animal for almost 20 years. Villagers in Ratanakiri province, close to the Vietnamese border, spotted the woman trying to steal food. After her capture, a village policeman identified her as his long-lost daughter. She'd been in the news. Apparently, she disappeared when she was 8. She's only now turned up. She'd been lost for nearly 20 years. She's been described as half-human, half-animal. She can't speak. She can't identify herself. She can't explain what's happened to her. She can't explain why she didn't seek for help. And when she's hungry, she pats her stomach. Lost. Now, my friend, I can think of a few better ways of describing my condition before God. When the Bible speaks of being lost, it's not 5 minutes of blind panic because you've let go of your mum's hand and you've gone down the wrong aisle at the supermarket. It's a lifetime in a jungle wilderness far from God. And like that girl, we don't know who we are, do we? Or why we're here, do you? And like her, we don't seek help. We're so lost, we don't even know that we are lost. We think this is the way life is supposed to be. That's how lost we are. And yes, like that girl, we are unable to speak. And we have a few words, like food, and fun, and money, and sex, and friend, and enemy. But we never talk about the great things, do we? Do you? What great things? God, Christ, the cross, sin, salvation, heaven. The Bible says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Do you see, the things that really matter, the things of God, the really big world that's out there, those things have never entered my head. So I have no words to speak of them. And Christians meet with me, they tell me how wonderful Christ is. They say, oh, the joy of knowing him. They speak about heaven and his cross. And we have nothing to say. It's not a language I recognize. I don't know what they're talking about. I have no words. I'm dumb. The man who claims to be the girl's father also said, when I saw her, she was naked and walking in a bending forward position like a monkey. Someone else said, she's like half human and half beast. And again, in my lostness, that's a good way of putting it about me. That's a good description of me. Because when I walk out on God, I don't walk tall. I become half man, half beast. Isn't that true? Oh yeah, I'm capable of great love and sacrifice, but I'm equally capable of hatred and revenge. I'm shocked that people lie to me. He lied to me. I can't believe it. And I don't lie to other people. And when I do good, well, I have an image of myself which I admire, and I want other people to admire. I want them to know just what I've done and how good I've been. And kids, I won't hear a word said against my mum and dad. But then when my mum and dad ask me to do something, I don't hear it. Do I? Do you always obey your mum and dad? Do you? What, always? And so it goes on and on and on. Do you see? God made man upright. But we've walked out on him. And in my lostness, I'm naked, unclean, half beast. I don't know who I am, where I'm going, what I'm doing. And when it comes to talking about God, I have nothing to say. That's how lost I am. I've walked out on God, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. My friend, Zacchaeus is lost, and so are we. And having walked out on God, where am I walking? I'm walking a path upon which God's anger is to be found. So point number two, seek. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now Zacchaeus is lost, but it's Jesus who comes seeking for him. Now at first sight, it's Zacchaeus who's doing most of the seeking, isn't it? Verse 3, he sought to see Jesus, who Jesus was. He could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. He's a little man, so he ran ahead, climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. He's curious, heard a good deal about this worker of miracles, this man who speaks the word of God with such matchless authority. Well, who is he? What's all the fuss about? Are the reports true? There's only one way to find out. Go and have a look. Go and find out for yourself. Have you done that? All the fuss about Jesus, what's it all about? Have you taken a look? Soon we'll be running a course called Christianity Explored, where you can find out for yourself what all the fuss is about. So Zacchaeus goes off to see Jesus. But of course he can't see, he's too short, can't see over the crowd. So what does he do? He runs ahead of the crowd, shins up one of those sycamore trees, and waits for Jesus to pass. He's obviously got a bit of spirit, hasn't he? He's a very powerful man, a very rich man, but he's not beyond shinning up a tree and having a peek, see what's going on. Now, he's got the best seat in the house, hasn't he? He's unseen, he's in a tree, yet he's able to see all. But who's the real seeker in this account? Why is Jesus passing through Jericho? For the Son of Man has come to seek. And why is he walking along this street under this tree? For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. Who stops? Who speaks? Who calls? It's Jesus, isn't it? And though this is their first meeting, Jesus knows all about him, even his name. He calls him by name and invites himself home. Today I must stay at your house. Other things can wait, Zacchaeus. This cannot. In 1981, four of us cycled to Scotland from London, and passing through the Lake District, we arrived at a town, and it was their Carnival Day. And the star attraction at the Carnival was Isla Sinclair. Now, the older people might know who she is, all the blank faces out there as well. Who's she? Well, in those days, there was a very popular program called The Generation Game, and Isla was Larry Grayson's glamorous assistant. Well, the parade went off down through the high street, and the floats of the parade passed, and then came the float carrying Isla, and there she stood, waving to the crowds as they do. And as she passed our spot, there were these four lads, and she looked at one of us, it wasn't me, and she waved. And my friend was chuffed a bit. Isla, in all the crowd, had picked him out, looked at him, smiled, and waved. And she looked at me. She looked at me. But what was it like that day in Jericho when the Son of God, thronged by the crowds, came walking that way? And he stopped, and he looked up into Zacchaeus' tree, and he said, Zacchaeus, I've been looking for you. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. No wonder Zacchaeus could hardly believe it. Come down quickly. This is the day. I've been looking for you, and I'm going back to your house today. Verse 6, so he made haste. He's getting down as fast as he can, and came down and received him joyfully. But verse 7, when God is at work, people complain. They always do. And when they saw it, they all complained. Why? He's gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. They're complaining because of the sort of man that Zacchaeus is. Doesn't Jesus know who this is? How can he be so friendly to a man like this? How can he invite himself home to this man as though he's this man's friend? Doesn't he know who Zacchaeus is? But of course, the one who sees Zacchaeus concealed in the tree, who knows him by name, of course he knows what sort of man Zacchaeus is. And that's the point. He's come seeking the lost. That's who Jesus is. He doesn't come seeking out the goody-goodies, the religious, the look at me. He comes seeking sinners. And he still does. My friend, maybe you're here tonight out of curiosity. Like Zacchaeus, you're intrigued, aren't you, by this Jesus? Maybe by this church, maybe by some of the Christians that you've met. What's going on? Are the reports true? Does he still change lives? And you're here tonight, you've come to take a little look, take a peek, find out what's going on. And you've been up your sycamore tree. It hasn't turned out quite as you expected, has it? Because far from remaining anonymous, you know that you have been seen. And Jesus has stopped right where you are. And he's looked up and he's spoken to you through his word. And he seems to know all about you. And he does. Nothing about you is hidden from his sight. Many years ago, there was a crime in the highland town of Dingwall. A lad had entered a garden and stripped the plum trees of their plums. Everyone said, "No plums. They've been stolen. Who's done it? Who's the thief?" And months went by, and no one knew who it was. And the lad thought he got away with it. And then came one Sunday, and a special children's service at the church. And the preacher was a Dr. John Kennedy. And he spoke from Psalm 11, verse 4, of the God who sees. His eyes behold, his eyes see, his eyelids test the sons of men. And as he preached, he came to his dramatic conclusion. And he said, "The boy is with us this evening who stole the plums. I shall not look in the direction of his seat, lest I betray him. But I know him. I saw him from my study window. Saw the wall leaped, the pockets filled, the breathless race home. He thought no one saw him. But I saw the whole, and God saw." My friend, God saw. God sees you. God sees it all. God sees you when you thought no one else saw. God saw everything. Every thought, every word, every deed, every motive, even the secrets of your heart that you dare not whisper to another. God sees. God knows. Nothing is hidden. And God's record of your sins is not like those sort of fuzzy CCTV images you have on Crime Watch and someone says, "Do you know who this man is?" God knows it's you. That it's you who have sinned. Those things of which you're ashamed. Those things you hope no one else will find out about. Those things that you carry around with you. He knows. He sees. Like Zacchaeus, you are a sinner on your way to hell. But you see, here is the friend of sinners. And he's here to seek the lost. And that's tonight why you have been seen. That's why he stopped just where you are and spoken to you. It's because he's come to seek and to save the lost. That's why he's spoken to you through his word. So don't try and hide. Don't try and keep him at a distance and say, "Okay, I'm going to switch off now. This is getting a bit too close. I want to walk out of here as comfortable as I walked in." You come down from your tree, from your vantage point. Come down. Meet with him, for the one who seeks you has come to save. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So our final point is the word save. Jesus goes home with Zacchaeus. When we come to verse 8, some time has elapsed during which Jesus and Zacchaeus have spoken. And so when we come to verse 8, the impossible has happened to Zacchaeus. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, if I've been fiddling anyone, I will restore fourfold, which is much more than the law required." Now you read that, you think, well, did I hear that right? Is this the Zacchaeus that we know? I thought he sold himself to make money, not give it away. I thought the love of his life was getting rich, but not anymore. It seems that something else, or more accurately, someone else, has his heart. He's no longer determined to make himself rich. From now on, he'll enrich others. "Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. I don't want to be rich anymore. I want to make others rich." And he's no longer pursuing money at any cost. "If I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." He doesn't just say, "Well, I'm not going to do it anymore. You know, I know I shouldn't have done it, and I'm sorry, Lord, I won't do it anymore." He says, no, I'm going to restore. I really am sorry about my sin, and I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to repent of it. I'm going to finish with it. I'm going to give what I've taken back with added interest. Now, this change of heart is costly, isn't it? It's going to cost him where it matters most in his old life, his pocket. But he doesn't seem to care. In fact, the cares seem to have rolled away. What's happened? Can this be Zacchaeus? Well, it's the same face, the same eyes, but there's a new man looking out through them. And what's the explanation? Jesus gives it in verse 9. Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham." What's the explanation? What's been going on? Zacchaeus has got saved. Salvation's come to this house. Having been confronted with his sin by Jesus, he now leaves his sin to follow Jesus. In the language of the Bible, that's repentance. He quits his sin, he turns away from that, and he turns to the Lord Jesus Christ. So long a greed that's got his heart. It's Christ. And everything's new, isn't it? What are his first words? "Lord." Do you see? The impossible's happened to Zacchaeus. A few weeks ago, we looked at chapter 18, verse 25, where Jesus says, "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." You'll sooner get a big, puffing, blowing camel through the eye of a literal needle than you'll get a rich man to give up his money. And when people hear that, they say, "Well, who then can be saved?" But he said, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." It's not that Zacchaeus has had a change of heart. It's that Christ has changed his heart. The impossible has happened, because what's impossible for Zacchaeus to do is possible for Christ. And Zacchaeus is a new man. He's a saved man. Wonderful, isn't it? Jesus has come to his house, but in reality, it's the lost sheep who's come home. Come home to Jesus. "He is a true child of Abraham," says Jesus. Not with Abraham's blood coursing through his veins. It's not because he's a Jew in that outward sense. It's because, like Abraham, he loves God. And that love is now living in his heart. "Today salvation has come to this house." So, my friend, what of you? Are you lost? And yet you're here. And maybe you're here out of curiosity. But you've been seen, haven't you? Jesus stopped to talk with you. He knows all about you. Nothing is hidden from his eyes. He sees everything. He sees your sin. But his first thought is not to condemn you, because this is the friend of sinners. This is the one in whose hands sinners are safe if they come to him. And he's come to seek and to save that which was lost. Tonight he's calling to you. Can you hear? Can you hear him call to you by name? Saying, come down. I know where you're hiding. I can see you. Come on, come down. It's time to come out to the open. Let's go home together. Let's talk. Let's get this thing sorted out. Let's put you right. Let's change that heart. Let's see you saved by the end of this day. Come down, come out. Let's see you finish with your sin and holding out against me. It's time to surrender your life to me. Now, as you hear that, you may say, well, that's impossible. Not me. That's impossible. 18 months ago, a little chapel in Muttur in Sri Lanka, it was burnt down by extremists. People who hate Christians, hate them enough to go and destroy their meeting place and to seek to drive them out of the village. One of those responsible has now been saved. He's now become a lover of the Lord Jesus Christ and joined with his people. Impossible? The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. So whoever you came in this evening, and whatever was on your mind, and even if it was just to take a little look and out of curiosity, and you found yourself much deeper in than ever you thought you would be, and you're thinking, no, no, not me, I'm not the sort of person to become a Christian, not me. Well, it is impossible for you, but all things are possible for him who saves sinners. You could be saved before you leave this building tonight. So come. Come out of your hiding place. Come and meet with the one who's come seeking for you. Lord, I have sinned, it's true. But I understand, because I've heard it many times, that Jesus died on a cross to save bad people, guilty people, condemned people like me. So Lord, save me. Forgive me. Change me. And if Jesus says, why should I? You say, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost.